Friends, you're very welcome indeed to Irish Radio Network USA. And we're going to, you know, a very famous country, one that is run by a fellow mayor man, indeed, Taoiseach, Prime Minister of Ireland, and Kenny. And Taoiseach, you're very welcome to the program.
Thank you, Edwin. Very glad to be on your show.
I was actually going to have the cheek to complain a little bit because our interview here was somewhat delayed. But considering that you had a very special guest yourself there today.
Indeed I had. President Bill Clinton was passing through Ireland here and he came in on a courtesy call and I spent an hour with him here in this office and we talked about America and Ireland and Northern Ireland and issues with which he was associated along with his good wife Hillary.
Yes.
And the continuing strong relationships between Ireland and America and how we have rebuilt our reputation with American business and the American people. So he spent a good hour here and he's speaking at another engagement in Dublin tonight and I understand he's moving on then to London at some stage tomorrow.
Now, we will remember, of course, that in Ireland's probably worst economic downturn and disaster, which you and your party was left to clean up, that actually Bill Clinton was one of the people who gave, you know, great hope and actually greatly reduced the anticipated time for recovery, you know, by shortening that. People were saying it could be 10 years, it could be 15, and God knows it couldn't be in our lifetime. Everything would be thrilly hela,
well,
as we say.
This is actually true because of his great love and connection with Ireland. He actually arranged a serious investment conference in early 2012 for Ireland, at which I attended, and he made the point at that conference that most countries as go into recession, it takes at least 10 years to emerge from it. He said, you Irish are different. You can short-circuit this and beat that figure. And I'm very glad to have taken his advice, which was very good advice, to be serious and be seen to be serious about the nation's prosperity and economic well-being. And we have come a long way, Adrian, in 2.5 years. We're not out of the woods yet. There are still challenges and fragilities up ahead.
Right.
But we've gone from a point in Ireland where we lost 250,000 jobs in 3 years, where we've stopped all that, and we're now in a position of creating 3,000 jobs a month. And our interest rates have fallen from 15% for the country to less than 4%. We have our third budget on next Tuesday, and we hope to have that as fair and as equitable as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And use whatever flexibility is available to government to invest in capital projects for infrastructure and for job creation so that people can see again the beginnings of confidence in our economy. And in December, we hope to exit the bailout program that our country has been in for the last 5 years, which is a combination of what they call the Troika between the European Central Bank, the European Commission and the IMF, and to retrieve our economic independence before the end of this year will be a remarkable achievement indeed by the Irish people, difficult though it's been for very many.
We can also recall Taoiseach, Prime Minister of Ireland, Enda Kenny, that advice also and support from Mayor Bloomberg of New York said that the, you know, in predicting Ireland's economic recovery, that the it would be very tough, something he had to do when he took over New York City, and that in fact the process itself would be amazingly hurtful, you know, to taxpayers and to everybody, and but that dragging it out for an anticipated 10 or 12 years would be very threatening to the economy. Now, he did it here in New York City, and everybody was ready to run him out of town.
Well, Mayor Bloomberg was right, and I was down in his office in City Hall, and we discussed this. The position was that Ireland was blocked out of the international money markets. Our reputation was in shreds. Our integrity was in tatters. And people said, you have lost your cohesion, and there's no horizon against which we can plan. So it's been very difficult for people, to be honest with you. Obviously, salaries have been reduced, pensions have been cut back, job opportunities, the public service has been downsized. People have had charges to be imposed on them in order to attempt to balance our books. And I have to say that it's difficult still for people. We have 80,000 with distressed mortgages where we have had to introduce legislation so that banks will sit down with each individual customer and work out a solution that's fair, but that's also sustainable for the future based on their particular circumstances. So that's very hurtful and very, very difficult, Adrian.
Yeah.
And, of course, young people continue to drift from the country. So our unemployment rate has fallen from 15.5% down now to 13.3%, and it's continuing to reduce for 15 consecutive months. And that's a good sign, but it's not enough by any means. So as I'm speaking to you in the United States of America and many Irish people listening to your program, some of whom have emigrated to America, some of whom are undocumented, all of whom have relations back home here in Ireland, I want to say that it's been a difficult process over the last 2.5 years, but I also want to say that we've made very substantial progress, and we're now looked on as a country, the first European country, that will exit a bailout program in December of this year, and we hope that sends out a signal internationally that Ireland is in a position of recovery, and that if other European countries can measure up, they will be in a position to purchase more of what we produce, and that Europe as a union, with its 500 million people, can move forward. And we hope that part of that will be the discussions between Europe and the United States about free trade between these two great trading blocks on the planet. These discussions are held up at the moment because of the difficulties in Washington in respect of the federal budget and the ceiling limits. But for now, it's been a difficult 2.5 years, but the people can see that step by step we are moving in the right direction, and I hope that inside 12 months we'll have a situation very much changed for Ireland, because the economic surveys conducted by independent international analysis now say there's real prospects of decent growth rates next year between 1.8 and 2%. Even up to 3% for gross national product, which would be the equivalent of serious job potential. And that's where we need to be.
Taoiseach and Kenny, it would be no harm to point out at this juncture that during the last 2.5 years, while all of this was going on,
Ireland
is now ranked almost the largest destination for U.S. investments, and that says something, because I think U.S. companies, you would take a lot of the, you know, the Grand Marie attitude out of it. America would not be investing in Ireland were it not for very good, great faith and future hope. But
this is true.
That's big.
This is true, and because of the great connections between Ireland and the United States over very many years, through the cultural, social, political, business, immigrant connections,
right,
that's very much alive. But America likes certainty. They like a horizon against which they can plan, and they like consistency. So in Ireland, for American investors coming to Ireland, and we have 515 American companies here employing 100,000 people, we've got our corporation tax rate of 12.5%, which is static and fixed and is absolutely transparent because it's legally based. Secondly, we've got a great track record. Thirdly, we have as sophisticated technology as anywhere else. But fourthly, an issue recognized by President Clinton, we have a talent pool that is quite exceptional, and that based on the challenges placed by industry, they've always measured up. Example, one of the biggest statements made internationally about this country in the last week was made not by a person, but by Intel, because for the first time in 40 years, the new chip, which can drive robotics and everything else from an Intel point of view, was actually designed in Ireland. And that's actually written on the chip itself, which is the first, if you like, for Irish engineers to be able to design something like that. On the other hand, as you say about the Grow McCree attitude, where it was all one-way traffic only, there are now 90,000 American people employed in Irish-driven businesses across 50 states. So that's
we're almost on par.
Of two-way traffic.
Yeah, it is two-way traffic. Now, there, with all of our own current ills in Washington, which appear to be getting worse rather than better, one might be surprised that the Irish government has joined with, you know, with the Irish Americans, the Irish organizations, and indeed as great supporters, Ireland has continued to support the immigrant support services here. But a new initiative is to actually put your backs to the work that we're trying to do here to get moving the whole topic of immigration, which traditionally comes to the top of, like, cream on the top and then dissipates. We have the best probably reason right now to continue what is a big struggle in Congress. However, what we needed, you have addressed. The Irish government has, in fact, in addition to all of the support that it has given both financially and indeed, moral and practical support through the consulate. Well, yesterday we attended a meeting here with Noel Kilkenny, Consul General in New York. And the initiative, which has started by the new ambassador, Irish Ambassador Anne Anderson, is one which says we are not sitting on the background. We want to do more at a time when, again, we're in drastic need of support. And I think that's amazing in one sense, but not surprising, you know, in many other areas.
Well, this is true. On a more practical level, clearly the Gaelic Athletic Association wants to help colleagues in the United States, and that was evident by the players who went down to the Breezy Point communities that were devastated following Hurricane Sandy last year.
Right.
We were very happy to see the Comprehensive Immigration Reform Bill, which is dealing with border security, economic opportunity, and immigration, which was passed in the Senate in June by a 68-32 margin, was a key breakthrough on those issues. That now has to go to the House of Representatives. But obviously, I would like to say publicly that we thank, you know, Senators Schumer and Durbin and Leahy and McCain and others who all helped in this. Ambassador Anderson and Consul General Noel Kilkenny, who's a wonderful man working with the Irish communities in New York, are driving a new agenda here. We would like to see this matter being finalised and concluded, if that can be so. Obviously, it's not for us to dictate, but we want to work with our American elected representatives in Congress and Senate that this matter can be addressed as part of the overall immigration philosophy that the American government are pursuing here. And I do hope that will you know, come to fruition, because it is causing problems and distress for numbers from Ireland and also from other countries. There's been a strong organisational role played by Irish communities like the Ancient Order of Hibernians, indeed the Chicago Celts for Immigration and the Irish Lobby for Immigration Reform. Mm-hmm. They all play their part in putting the pieces of the jigsaw to make up the picture. And I think, and I do hope that over the period ahead, that when the current problems in Washington in respect of the fiscal issues are sorted out, that the politicians will be able to focus again on the question of comprehensive immigration. It's so important for the future economy of the United States, with so many different peoples, but amongst those are 50,000 undocumented Irish. And we would also see an opportunity then for, you know, a continuous opportunity for people to be able to legitimize themselves in the United States, if that be so. And the proposal for 10,500 Irish citizens then to legally avail of employment opportunities in the US every year is also a very welcome situation indeed, which brings, you know, comfort and benefit to so many people.
Right. And the recognition, you know, by your government in particular, that it's not all right to have whatever the figure is. The credible figure is definitely more than 50,000 undocumented who are here and who are in the shadows. It must be of great solace to them to know that the Irish government has not forgotten them. They're definitely, need that boost.
This is so true. I know many of these people, and they want to legitimize themselves in the United States. Many are working, many are married, many pay their social security and contribute to the American economy. But as you rightly point out, Adrian, they are in the shadows. You know about this over your own work over very many years. And the important thing here is that the political process can put in place a structure by which people from Ireland currently in the shadows or who wish to go to the United States can have a situation where they can be legitimized as citizens, if that's what they wish to do, or certainly contribute legitimately for a period to the economy and the work in the United States. The Irish, by and large, have not caused difficulties for the authorities in the US. We're very proud of the contribution made by Irish people over very many generations. And as I say, I do hope that the political process will be able to focus on this again when the current difficulties end. And for your listeners, I just want them to understand that we engage with Noel Kilkenny on a regular basis. I haven't met Ambassador Anderson formally yet as ambassador in Washington. But the people who are there of Irish descent, they can rest assured that the Irish government is fully focused on this as a priority for us to work with our colleagues in the United States to bring about, you know, a solution in this case, which will work out in favor of both the American economy, America as the states,
right,
and also the people directly concerned. Nobody wants to live in the shadows after all.
We are at the first anniversary of one of the greatest tragedies that nature bestowed on the United States, again with Hurricane Sandy. And I think that gave an opportunity, you know, for us to revisit something that most people listening to this program and those whose ancestors came from Ireland, the Mehel approach. People gathering together for, a single cause, one that indeed we had no difficulty in learning when we were growing up because we got it, we inherited that from the generations before us, getting together to help in situations without any regard for, you know, take Rockaways where you visited and Breezy Point and many of the other areas in and around New York City. When the nightmare came, we were very prominent. We were very prominent in getting the Mehel, that gathering, to do it. And this actually is where the Irish government came in. This is where your consulates, this is where the Irish government says, we're not going to just write a check. We're going to organize. We're going to coordinate. And that has actually created the impetus which now we hope will be helpful in having a victory or at least some relief through comprehensive immigration reform. We've had that, and we've known what it is. There was nothing, there was no glue that has ever been as effective as that of the Irish government not taking over, but being there as coordinators and helping to coordinate efforts that people didn't know, unless, of course, again, we from Ireland always knew what the Mehel was about and what its significance was.
Well, this is true, and for your listeners, obviously, because of the emigrant tradition in Ireland, with forced economic circumstances to go abroad to Britain or to the United States, the Mehel concept, as you know, was that the work still had to be done, and because people had left, somebody else had to do it. And that meant that groups of people in parishes throughout the country would have gathered together and in sequence do the work on farm one and farm two and farm three and so on around the villages and the parishes. And in the modern day sense, the Gaelic Athletic Association and indeed the emigrant communities banded around the householders and the people in Breezy Point and in Rockaways, where Sandy devastated those. And I had the opportunity to go down and see that myself at first hand before St. Patrick's Day this year. And I think the concept that you mentioned of community, of assistance for others in time of need, has never been more evident than displayed by the Irish. It's a fact, Adrian, that since the United Nations was formed, Ireland is the one country that can legitimately say it has had people and personnel in some place on this planet every day doing humanitarian work or peacekeeping or whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Gaelic players themselves were very proud to go down to Breezy Point and assist in some small way in the clean-up and the repair, the demolition of damaged buildings and so on, to add their voice, if you like, to the concept of Irishness and Irish unity in the face of adversity of this great natural challenge. So while the government over the years have contributed, you know, $20 million or whatever since 2008, 2009 for immigrant support programs, this is a further evidence of that, because we're not a rich country. We don't have the capacity to write endless checks, but we do have a practicality about us to help others who are in need. And whether that be our own communities or in the humanitarian sense in other places like Haiti or Africa or different countries, the Irish really do have a generosity of spirit and a generosity of heart that's evident in the sort of practical work that we can do here. And I admire the work and the diligence of Noel Kilkenny in New York as Consul General, and he, as one of our Consul Generals out there, feeds that information back to government here, where we can work with the associations and the organizations in the interest of helping those who've come up on a bad time or have a bad turn, as it were.
You know, a song which bemoans the fact that with a very incorrect message, it says when New York was Irish, and there are several other songs like that, you know, which imply that we are speaking past tense. You know, the organizations, and you know, let's talk for a minute, Tisha, about the influence and the significance of the Gaelic Athletic Association at a time when everybody says, sure, the Irish have faded out now and there's no immigration and that'll be the end of them. Nothing could be further from the truth.
Correct, and immigration is still a fact of life here. Some people leave because of choice, because of adventure, because of the need to get experience, because of their professional training or whatever. Others leave because of economic necessity. It could be married people with young families who lost jobs. As I said, 250,000 lost their jobs in the 3 years because of the economic crash and due to incompetence of the banks and all of that. So immigration is still a fact of life, but the Gaelic Athletic Association worldwide has grown in importance and stature. We have Gaelic associations in China, in Japan, in Indonesia, in Singapore, in the Far East, in the Middle East, and all over the United States. We have them in different places in South America and in Africa. And the wonderful thing about the Gaelic Athletic Association, as you know, is that Irish people recognize the county jerseys, the Gaelic jerseys. If you're walking down the street in San Francisco, you see a Cork jersey or a Donegal jersey or a Dublin jersey, there's an immediate Irish connection. And in that sense, the Gaelic Athletic Association, working with the Consul Generals and the agencies, is always in touch with people who are either, you know, looking for employment, who are doing well, who need connections, or possibly in some cases have fallen up in bad times and can put in place a system to look after people where that be so. So they're not only are they a sporting organisation which prides itself on teamwork and character building and discipline and all of that, but they're also a connector in people's interests. And that's what springs from the heart of the GAA, which is based on the parish, based on the team, and based on that sort of passion and camaraderie which stands people all through their lives. So in this modern age, when distance is not the same as it was because of FaceTime and social media connections, the GAA is more real now than ever it was.
Tisha, your government initiative, which indeed many begrudgers thought would never get off the ground, the Gathering Ireland 2013, will historically, point in the direction of how an idea and a notion and a recognition of the diaspora, how successful that can be.
Yeah, well, this has been very successful, Adrian. It began 3 years ago when the call was made to Irish people of connection and influence around the world to come home and have discussions about how we might use their experience and their ideas to promote Ireland. One of those ideas was to have, in 2013, a gathering. That is to bring people back, invite them back from all over the world, either for business or for pleasure, for golf, for weddings or whatever, and get an experience of Ireland, to understand where their people came from, to have a sense of place and all of that. Now, we had Notre Dame and the Navy over here, which was an exceptional occasion. Next year, we're going to have Penn State and the University of Central Florida come into Croke Park in August. They'll play for the Dan Rooney Challenge Trophy, named after Dan Rooney, a very famous person in the United States and also a recent ambassador here to Ireland. But the gathering's been very strong. It means 300,000-400,000 extra people have come from other countries to Ireland. They enjoy their stay. We appreciate their visit. It helps them to make connections going back for so many years. And from the United States, obviously, 35 million people claim Irish ancestry, and that's very important for us. So this year has been an exceptional year in terms of tourism and the hospitality sector. In reality, it has meant that it has helped to sustain employment, and because of changes made in the tax rules here, 15,000 extra jobs have been created in the hospitality sector. And that's why we want to continue that kind of process through 2016 and beyond. So in a new form of connection that our American colleagues can actually come over here, see for themselves our country, how it's been transformed, how it's progressed, meet their long-lost cousins and connectors, and have a really good experience. In fact, members of my own extended family, about 200, are coming back this month to County Donegal, some from Montana and Wyoming, Oregon, Boston, Chicago, and other points in between. And that's a special occasion for them. But it also means a great effort for people to come that distance for a couple of days to meet long-lost cousins or people they've never met who are relations and connections. You know this from County Mayo.
Absolutely.
In Australia or anywhere.
Matter of fact,
it's always
a
very
Tisha,
important
yeah.
social occasion.
Tisha, we met in our native Ballinan and Attymath. People who had immigrated 40 years ago, 50 years ago, coming back, and we had an opportunity to meet them Because the truth of the matter is, every village, every parish, it didn't make a difference where you went in Ireland. The Irish absolutely gave the Fáilte the welcome that indeed Gathering Ireland was intended to present in the first place. Fantastic.
Absolutely, and I think that speaks for itself. The connection both ways is so important. And we want to continue that and build on it. And I think this year, to date, has been a wonderful year for Ireland. The Lord himself gave us exceptionally fine weather from midpoint of the year onwards. It was an exceptional summer by Irish standards. And while we're now in October, the evenings have still been 17 or 18 degrees, which is, you know, several above normal for this time of year in Ireland.
The goal with the gathering, which was set very high to begin with, has been surpassed. That says something right there.
Yes, it does. And it also means that the more people we have who come here and who do get a good experience will, you know, tell others and talk to others and, sure, and want to come back. But it also builds connections for the future. For instance, the Kennedy reunion in Wexford this year, Caroline Kennedy was over with her children.
Incredible.
They made a remarkable impression, and their extended family. And because the younger Kennedys were here, they all spoke at different events. And so they've tied themselves in to the next generation of connectors with Ireland. And I think that's been important as well. So you are right here. We thank all of those who came from the United States to Ireland for this gathering. We do hope that they've had a really good time. If they've never been here before, that they get a flavour of the personality of our people. And that they would be happy at some point to come back again or to tell others to do so.
Finally, Taoiseach and the Kenny, Prime Minister of Ireland, I would like to acknowledge and indeed thank you for the great reception you gave to John Leahy, President of Quinnipiac University, the Executive Vice President of New York St. Patrick's Day, but he's also founder and chairman of Ireland's Great Hunger Museum in Hamden, Connecticut, men who, you know, by virtue of your own description, has done enormous work, again, not acknowledged, but you did it, and it was tremendous, because the John Leahys of this world are few and far between.
Well, I was very very proud, I have to say, to meet John Leahy and the entourage. And John is president of Quinnipiac University and the founder of the Great Hunger Museum. And as you say, executive vice president of the New York City St. Patrick's Day Parade. I wasn't aware of the extent of development of Quinnipiac University, small, modern, making a real impact. And what I did say to John was that I would be happy to go and visit the Hunger Museum when I have the next chance to visit Eastern United States, and also to develop further the links between the National University of Ireland at Maynooth.
Right.
I think that President Leahy is an exceptional man. He's a real driver. He set out a vision here, and we should be very proud and are very proud and thank him for the contribution that he has made and is making to the awareness of Ireland, the awareness of the people of Ireland, and indeed the contribution that we have made to the United States over these years. So if it comes my way and I have the opportunity, I want to say that I'll be very happy to call to Quinnipiac and go through the Hunger Museum with John Leahy. I admire his work very much indeed. I think he's a wonderful man.
Taoiseach, thank you for spending the time with us. Kenny, Taoiseach, and more important to me, friend, thank you for spending this time with us, and good luck in what you're doing. I know you have your own, you have to roll out your own budget next week, and that also is going to affect the Irish taxpayer, the Irish in Ireland. But I think in our travels while we were in Ireland, even those who are hurt and suffering economically have to say that things are getting better and that rather than that they truly believe that Ireland has turned, or at least is turning, to where the economy will make sense, and in fact, again, be an example to other countries, to say that an impossible...
Well, thanks for that, Adrian. What we're at here is fulfilling the mandate given to us by the people, sort out our economic problems, put in place a system of normal budgeting, and get back to a point of where we can understand the difficulties that people have, but invest in job creation, which is the solution for the future. I see a time beyond our current difficulties, beyond the exit from the bailout, where we can have a country where we have put in structures that will never allow a situation to go back to the mentality that applied a number of years ago. And we've done that. So the people can see that step by step we are making progress, and I'm happy to note the commentaries of international commentators. I'm conscious of Taoiseach, of the difficulties that people still face and will face for some considerable time. But we will work with them as government and with our European colleagues to sort out these problems and deal with them in the fairest, most equitable way that we can in the interests of our country. And thank you for your continued interest in Ireland.
Many, many thanks, Gormil Mahagat, Andy Kenny, Taoiseach, Prime Minister of Ireland.
Good morning.